This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This year, our solar system had a very unexpected guest, not from around our sun, not even from our neighbourhood of stars. It was a short visit. It got people talking. And now it's officially heading back out into the Milky Way.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Sarah, have we got you now?
Oh, I think we do.
We're going to blame that on the aliens. Is that what we're going to say?
We can.
So, Sarah, this interstellar object has been ever in the news. What was it, and why did astronomers pay so much attention?
It has. So, 3i Atlas has had quite a moment this year. I'm sure everybody has heard of it at least once. And we're so excited and will continue to be excited about it because it was only the third ever object from interstellar space that we think we've detected as humans. So I'm sure that others have passed by our solar system many, many years ago, but this is only the third that we've been able to actually confirm is not from our solar system, which is really exciting. It means that it came from far, far away, likely is older than our solar system itself, and is just passing through on its way through space.
So third one, why are they so rare?
It's quite rare to get objects leave a solar system once it's formed. So we have a lot of gravitational potential. We're kind of bound to the system that we're in. Obviously, we orbit the sun and things orbit us, and it's a really complicated system. But every now and again, you can get catastrophic events happen. So sometimes stars will die, and when they explode, they might kick ejecta out, and that can go traveling throughout the cosmos. Or sometimes you get a gravitational kind of what we call a keyhole, where there's big planets moving about in the solar system, and it gravitationally kicks an object in just the right way to accelerate it to be able to leave its gravitational pull. And so either or all could have happened with this object here. So it is really rare that this happens in solar systems, and then even rarer that they actually cross paths throughout another solar system, because space is absolutely enormous. Even though there's thousands of stars that we can see at night, all of them are very, very far away from us.
Now, it recently made its closest pass by Earth, close in space terms, but still a long way away. What were astronomers watching for during that moment?
That's right. So it was about 270 million kilometres away from us. And what we were looking for is any data we could get on it. So we're trying to get spectroscopic data to try to figure out what was its composition, what was it off-gassing. And we're trying to get imaging data to see could we hone in on the actual shape of it a little bit better. And we were even listening with radio telescopes to make sure it was not an alien probe transmitting radio waves, which if it had been, we would have heard about it. So that's very reassuring. But as a scientist and the science community, you've got to check all hypotheses, and this was certainly one that sparked quite a few fun and sometimes ridiculous theories.
I know. And then you're leading me to the next thing, which is every time something like this happens, people jump straight into what I said at the top, which is aliens. Why is that people's reaction so – I mean, are we so earnest, we want to sort of see is there something beyond there? But obviously, at a moment like this, people jump onto it and go, yes, something bigger.
Yeah. I think it's human curiosity. Yeah. I think we all want to know, is there something beyond us out there? I think it's fascinating. Mm. Us scientists, I mean, a lot of us work towards trying to understand where could life live elsewhere? Could we detect it? So it's always really exciting. And so I don't blame that's our first kind of instinct. It's almost, it's a duel between Murphy's Law and Occam's Razor. Murphy's Law tends to be, well, you know, anything that could happen might happen, so it could be aliens, whereas Occam's Razor is the simplest explanation is likely true, which is that it's a very old piece of rock from a different solar system. But both are valid ways to think about life, and, you know, we always learn as we go through it.
Okay. And I love the phrase that has been used a lot about it, which says older than our solar system. And that's a big idea to wrap around your head when you hear that.
It is. It is really, it hurts my brain to think about, because in the terms of our universe, we're pretty young. So our universe itself is 13.8 billion years old, but our solar system is only about 4.5 billion years old. Wow. It's a fraction. So there has been so much that has happened in the universe, in other star systems, in our own galaxy, before any of this was even here, in our own fraction of the system.
Wow. We're chatting with Sarah Webb, astrophysicist, about an interstellar comet that's just passed through our solar system and what it's revealed about the wider galaxy. Now, something else that has popped up is, the same time as this visitor was slipping past us, astronomers were also watching something far more dramatic unfolding around another star, something we've long suspected happens but rarely get to see. Tell us a bit about that.
That's right. So we keep an eye on quite a few different star systems around the place, and we tend to look really closely at new star systems. We want to understand, how do stars and planets and solar systems form, and are we special? Are we any different? And so people, lots of scientists, a few different astronomers have been studying this one particular system that is 25 light years away from us, so pretty close, since the mid-1990s. And it is a new star that is in its process of forming. It's got planets that are in the process of forming around it. And what they've discovered is pretty incredible. They think they've found signatures from two planets colliding into each other and having a catastrophic explosion. And what's really exciting about this is, it sounds absolutely terrifying, but it happens all the time, we think. We think it even happened in our own solar system very early on. And in fact, that's how we got the moon, was a planet trying to form, crashed into the Earth and left us without our moon buddy. But being able to see this in data is really important, because now we can hone back into what actually happens. What data can we get from that system?
So we think of similar events which shaped Earth and even led to the moon forming. So this observation, what supports these kind of ideas that we have?
It definitely does. And it gives us a little bit of insight into what it actually does to the system. Mm. So they're able to see that there's a bit more dust created that reflects a bit more sunlight. And then from there, they can do computational modeling. So it all adds up to these little pieces around the place, trying to understand, how do things form, and ultimately what is rare and what isn't, because there's 1,000 ways that you can birth a star in a solar system. And only so far, we've only ever found one quite like us, which is our own solar system, with our very special four rocky planets, four gas giants, and of course our dwarf planets like Pluto. But it's quite rare. So we want to understand, you know, could this happen elsewhere? Could we find a system like us?
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, it's always that time of the year where you start looking not only what's happened, but also looking ahead. Mm-hmm. So coming up in space, before we wrap up, it's worth probably just talking about it, because the next year or two, correct me if I'm wrong, are shaping up to be pretty big for space exploration and discovery.
It is. I cannot wait. So early next year, we should see Artemis 2. So that is the NASA-led rocketry program that is heading back to the moon. Mm. That should launch. And it's not just a rocket going to the moon. It's going to be humans, including the first female and first person of color in these two programs that are coming up. So that's exceptionally exciting. We haven't had humans back to the moon in many decades. So I can't wait for that. That hopefully will launch no earlier than about February next year.
Wow.
So keep your eyes peeled for
I didn't realize it was as soon as that. And it is going to be, provided there isn't any tech concerns to delay it, that is going to happen within the first few months of next year.
It should. And even if it gets delayed, we're still expecting that it will go ahead in 2026.
Oh, wow.
It's a good window for all of the engineering. Yeah.
That's Artemis 2. We're also getting an eclipse next year too.
We are. We're getting a full lunar eclipse on March 3rd across Australia. So this is a blood moon, these famous, juicy, glorious blood moons that happen at night. So March 3rd, mark your calendars. I will definitely talk about it closer to the time. But that is a really special one. So if you can be somewhere that's dark and spectacular for that date, I would highly recommend it.
Well, and one other thing I remember hearing what's coming up is also something, an observatory of sorts. Can you quickly tell us what that's all about?
I can. The Vera Rubin Observatory in Chile, the world's biggest camera with eyes on the sky every single night, is starting to take data right now, and it's going to start releasing public data in about a month. And what's really awesome is that everybody, me, you, anyone can look at this data online for free. And so as soon as that is in action, I will let everybody know. But it's going to give us a glimpse of the cosmos that we've never seen before, help us find so many explosions. That's really what it is. It's an explosion hunter for dying stars, emerging black holes, and all of the wonderful things that happen in the universe.
All right, Vera Rubin, Observatory. Gosh, there's three good things we look forward to next year, and all relatively quickly. So it's great.
It is.
I'm excited. Sarah, all I can sort of say is thank you so much for joining us again throughout the year and for making space, especially for this little person here who's on the other microphone, feel a little less distant and a lot more exciting. So I really appreciate the time you take out and join us every other week here on Joy Drive.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's an absolute pleasure. And I hope that everybody gets to look outside at least once over the holiday season and appreciate the stars.
Thanks, Sarah. Looking forward to chatting to you in 2026.
Sure will.
We've loved everything about Sarah Webb. She is from Swinburne University of Technology, always taking us a little further into the universe.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.